Hey Mason, July 9th, 2026. Today we are looking at a quick radar briefing over the newest kept research and then moving into the week in review. We are tracking some fascinating developments in how community-governed datasets are improving the accuracy of optical character recognition for older Lakota manuscripts. There is also a significant update on how we are grounding our retrieval augmented generation systems in books that have been fully vetted by tribal elders to ensure linguistic sovereignty. We will also look at the latest evaluation metrics for our language models to see how they are performing against traditional fluency standards. Let us start with the radar briefing to see what the latest research shows. Recent developments in the research landscape highlight several critical pathways for improving how large language models handle low-resource and culturally specific data. A primary theme involves the technical mechanics of cross-lingual transfer and reasoning. For instance, Andrea Alfarano and colleagues conducted a large-scale study on how reasoning capabilities in English can actually improve performance in other lower-resource languages. This suggests that building strong reasoning foundations in high-resource languages might provide a scaffold for underserved languages. Similarly, research by Lukmal Ilias and Nevadu Jayatileke explores cross-lingual transfer learning specifically for speech recognition, moving from Sinhala to Divehi. These findings are vital for developing data-efficient adaptation strategies that do not rely solely on massive native language datasets. The challenge of complex orthographies and scripts also remains a central focus. Berte Bayar Saikon, Sarin Kim, and Baru Chung have investigated cognitive pivot translation for Mongolian, specifically addressing the difficulties of working with the traditional script. This work is highly relevant to the challenges of managing underserved orthographies and the ambiguities that arise when a language uses multiple writing systems. This connects to broader efforts to extend mathematical reasoning evaluations beyond high-resource languages as seen in the Pluramath project led by Darina Dementieva and others. Their work aims to close the gap in how we measure the logic and reasoning abilities of models when they are operating in underrepresented languages. Beyond technical architecture, there is a growing emphasis on the intersection of artificial intelligence and cultural heritage. Aparna Madhva and her co-authors argue for rethinking artificial intelligence through the lens of cultural preservation, specifically addressing how to build systems for linguistically diverse and underrepresented populations. This aligns closely with the necessity of maintaining language sovereignty. To ensure these systems are actually reliable, Felix Feldman and a team of researchers have provided a systematic evaluation of retrieval augmented generation configurations. Their study focuses on retrieval quality and faithfulness, which provides a framework for building the kind of grounded community-approved pipelines necessary for high-stakes language work. Together, these studies suggest that the path toward sovereign language technology requires a dual focus on sophisticated cross-lingual transfer and a rigorous, culturally aware approach to evaluation. Looking back at the research we have covered throughout the week, a clear and urgent pattern emerges that connects the technical challenges of large language models to the profound responsibilities of cultural preservation. While the individual papers we discussed earlier, such as the work on medieval Latin manuscripts or the specific developments with Lakota BERT, focused on narrow technical hurdles, the collective body of research from this week points toward a much larger movement. We are seeing a shift from simply trying to make models work in more languages to a much more rigorous systemic attempt to ensure those models are faithful, trustworthy, and culturally grounded. The most dominant theme this week has been the intense focus on the reliability of retrieval augmented generation, or RAG. As we move away from relying on the internal, often hallucination-prone memory of a model and towards systems that must look up information in a provided text, the research community is grappling with how to actually measure success. We saw this in the work by Felix Feldman and his colleagues regarding public health question answering, where they emphasize that a RAG system is only as good as its retrieval quality and its faithfulness to the source. This is not just a technical preference for a community sovereign system. Faithfulness is a requirement for safety. If a model provides medical or legal advice based on a community-approved book, it cannot afford to drift from the text. This need for rigorous evaluation was echoed in several other papers. The work on the TRAJ framework, which we covered earlier this week, provides a blueprint for this by suggesting we must look at failure localization. We cannot just say a system failed, we have to know if it failed during the retrieval stage or the generation stage. This idea of per-stage evaluation is a recurring necessity. We see it again in the research by Mohamed Al-Bouke on detecting hallucinations through grounding-aware sensitivity, and in the work by Yingdong Yang and Haijian Wu, which looks at candidate-constrained retrieval. These researchers are all asking the same fundamental question: how do we prove that the model is actually using the evidence we gave it? For the work being done with Lakota, this connection is vital. When building a RAG pipeline grounded in community-approved books, the goal is to create a digital extension of that community's knowledge. The research by Sadeldine Iyatar and his team on defending long-form RAG against misinformation pollution is particularly relevant here. It suggests that as we feed more complex long-form documents into these systems, we need active defenses to ensure the model does not pick up noise or incorrect patterns. This ties directly into the concept of data sovereignty. If the data is sovereign and community-governed, the RAG pipeline must be designed to protect the integrity of that data against the tendency of models to hallucinate or conflate different sources. A second major theme this week involves the bridge between high-resource and low-resource languages, specifically through the lens of cross-lingual transfer. We have seen a tension in the research between the power of English-centric reasoning and the need for linguistic specificity. Andrea Alfarano and his team found that reasoning capabilities in English can actually improve performance in low-resource languages. This is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it offers a path toward data-efficient adaptation, which is essential when you do not have millions of pages of text. On the other hand, it risks a form of cognitive colonization if the model's reasoning patterns are purely Western-centric. This tension is explored deeply in the work by Haotian Zhou and his colleagues on teacher-regularized reinforcement learning for English evidence cross-lingual RAG. They are looking at how to decompose rewards so that a model learns to be grounded in the evidence, even when that evidence is in a different language than the reasoning process. This is a critical area for Lakota development. If we can leverage the reasoning strengths of large models while forcing them to remain strictly tethered to Lakota language sources, we create a much more robust tool. We see similar efforts in the work on cross-lingual transfer for speech recognition from Lukmal Ilyas and Nevidu Jayatileke, and in the study of mathematical reasoning across languages by Darina Dementieva and her team. They are all trying to solve the same problem. How do we take the intelligence of a massive model and make it work reliably in a language that the model has barely seen? The third theme involves the physical and visual reality of language, specifically through optical character recognition, or OCR, and document understanding. This is where the work on legacy texts meets the cutting edge of vision language models. The research on Hunyuan OCR 1.5 shows that we can make lightweight models much better at handling ancient scripts through better data construction. This is a direct parallel to the work we discussed regarding medieval Latin manuscripts. For the Lakota researcher, this is the front line of the battle. Converting legacy texts, which may have unique orthographies or aging paper, into clean, machine-readable data is the first step in any sovereignty project. We also saw a significant focus on the complexity of layouts and scripts. The work on the BAFCO benchmark for Bangla form comprehension and the research on KoPyT for Mongolian traditional script highlight that language is not just a string of characters, it is a visual and structural entity. When dealing with digraphic languages or complex document layouts, a simple text-based approach will fail. This reinforces the need for high-quality specialized OCR and handwriting recognition pipelines that understand the specific visual nuances of the language in question. Finally, there is the human element, the necessity of high-quality manually annotated datasets. The work on the Sinhala market dataset by Lakshani Galwata and her team reminds us that while synthetic data and transfer learning are powerful, they are not a substitute for human-in-the-loop annotation. For a community-governed AI, the human-in-the-loop must be the community itself. The creation of high-quality aspect-based datasets is what allows a model to understand not just what is being said, but the sentiment and cultural nuance behind it. As we move into next week, the synthesis of these papers suggests three key areas of focus. First, do not just build a RAG pipeline, build an evaluation pipeline. If you are grounding your model in Lakota texts, you need the tools to measure exactly where the model is failing. Is it failing to find the right page, or is it failing to translate the concept correctly? Second, look closely at the methods of cross-lingual transfer. The goal is to use the reasoning power of English-trained models as a scaffold, not a replacement, for the linguistic integrity of the target language. Third, prioritize the visual. The transition from a physical legacy book to a digital searchable and RAG-ready corpus is a multi-stage process that requires specialized OCR that respects the unique orthography of the language. The research this week shows that the path to sovereign AI is not a single leap, but a series of highly disciplined, highly evaluated steps. It is a move away from the black box approach and toward a transparent, stage-aware, and deeply grounded architecture. This is the standard we must hold our own community projects to. From the shifting patterns of the atmosphere to the deep histories of the land, we have traced how much the world changes even when we are not looking. This week showed us that whether through technology or through memory, staying observant is our best tool for understanding what comes next. That is all for our time together today. Take care of yourself, Mason, and we will speak again soon.